You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The decline of local news outlets around Wisconsin and around the United States is a topic we've covered many times over the years here on Central Time. According to Northwestern University's Local News Initiative and its State of Local News 2023 report, the U.S. has lost more than 2,900 newspapers since 2005. That's closing in on a third of them gone. Some Wisconsin state lawmakers are among those trying to help reverse that trend. They think putting some public support and some public money behind local journalism is one way to do it. We'll talk to a sponsor of some of that legislation and then hear from an advocate for local journalism. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see a loss of local news in your community and its impact where you live? Has a local newspaper closed in your area in the last 10, 15 years? How do you feel about that loss? Do you have local TV or newspapers that are thriving where you are? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Jimmy Anderson is a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 47th Assembly District, which includes Fitchburg. He's a co-sponsor of three bills aimed at strengthening local news outlets in Wisconsin. Representative Anderson, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
What led you to want to tackle this issue of local journalism and news deserts in some places?
Yeah, it's an interesting topic. And I think I began to see the connection between kind of the loss of our civility and sometimes our ability to communicate in our democracy. And I saw it tied a lot to the ways in which people were getting unhealthy news information, just having unhealthy news diets. And I thought, what could be the best way to try to cure some of that? And I thought, you know, making sure that their local newspapers and local media sources are healthy and thriving, and try to think of ways to bolster that.
And I understand one of your sources of inspiration comes from the state of New Jersey, where they have something called the Civic Information Consortium. Tell us a little bit about that and how it inspired some of the legislation here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, when I was working with my staff, we kind of looked around the country and said, you know, what are the states that are doing the best and what are they doing to try to support local news? New Jersey's Civic Information Consortium, which is one of the three bills that I introduced here in Wisconsin, basically brings together people in the community, journalists, professors, legislators, brings them all together and basically provides a source of funding that they would distribute to various entities that are doing interesting local news projects. It could be something like a podcast. It could be supporting a local newspaper. As long as it's increasing like media, good, healthy media in their communities, it's something the consortium would want to support.
Now, someone might hear that and say, well, I trust some media outlets, but not others for one reason or another. How do you see getting consensus, assuming this thing passed and became a reality, getting consensus on, you know, what is something worth supporting with these state-funded grants, in effect?
And that's why it's so important that we bring together people from all over the spectrum when it comes to media sources. And so much in the same way that it's difficult sometimes to make good legislation by bringing together a lot of different people with different ideas, it's important to have all those perspectives, because in the end, you'll end up with something close to consensus, and hopefully with the information consortium being able to come to at least some of an agreement as to what is going to be good for their individual communities.
We're talking to State Representative Jimmy Anderson, looking at legislation he's co-sponsoring aimed at boosting local journalism here in the state. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, maybe your experiences. Have you seen a decline in coverage of your local city council, say, your local school board, local businesses, things like that? Do you think it's bad for your community? 800-642-1234. So that idea of an information consortium is one bill you're working on, as you mentioned. Another is a state-funded journalism fellowship. How would that one work, and how would you target it toward local journalism?
Yeah, so this one is basically anybody that's a UW student all throughout the entire UW system. They would basically get a $40,000 stipend in order for them to go and work at one of their local newspapers. This would basically give them a jumpstart on their career in journalism, but also help alleviate some of those costs at the local newspapers of being able to hire journalists. So I think it's a really great win-win for both the young student and for the place where they decide to go and work.
And then another bill would create state tax credits for people who are newspaper subscribers. Talk a little bit about how that would work and the impact you hope it could have.
Yeah, so basically, as long as you're subscribing to a local Wisconsin newspaper, you'd be able to get a 50% tax rebate on your subscription. And so I think anything that we can do to incentivize people to read their local newspapers is something that I think the state should be supporting. And so I think this is a really great idea to get people to, you know, join and get those subscriptions up.
Now, for some people, they might say that would be great. 20 years ago, that local newspaper's been gone all that time. I'd have to go to the nearest, you know, larger city and subscribe. I mean, is this something you think could incentivize resurrection of some papers or new ones in communities that don't have them?
That's exactly it. That's what we're hoping that would end up happening. I understand that, like I said, we've seen consolidation. We've seen a lot of newspapers shuttering. But, you know, if a local community sees a large uptick or a desire to have more media in their area, this could definitely incentivize more newspapers to open up in those communities.
Now, I could see somebody gaming the system for a couple of these different things, saying, OK, I'm going to come up with a partisan news outlet here one way or the other. I'm going to print it as a newspaper. It's going to look just like a local journalism outfit. I assume that's not the kind of thing you're aiming for. How do you make sure that doesn't take advantage of the programs you're hoping to create?
Yeah, that was one of the things that I was struggling with, because there's a lot of, you know, really great online sources of information. There's also a lot of terrible ones. What I didn't want is for example, someone like Alex Jones and his InfoWars nonsense being able to game the system. So we specifically use the definition of newspapers that's in our Wisconsin statutes. That's actually incredibly narrow. While this may limit the ability of some local papers to take advantage of this, I thought it was important for the very reason that you brought up, that we wouldn't want to encourage people to try to game the system or to try to use unhealthy news sources to take advantage of this tax rebate.
Now, you've got a couple co-sponsors on this legislation. Last I looked, they were just Democrats. Republicans have a majority in both chambers. How do you pitch this to Republicans who you would need to make this thing a reality?
So we did manage to get at least one Republican to join on for the tax rebate and for the Journalism Fellowship Program. We're very excited about that. We just introduced this for the first time this session. Like any good piece of legislation, it's going to take time, and I'm going to be going to my Republican colleagues. Many of them live in rural areas where they've seen significant declines in local news. And it's not just the fact that these are, you know, reporters talking about important issues like what's happening in their school boards or what's happening in their local governments. You know, you also need to be made aware if there's going to be a 4th of July festival, if there's yard sales that are happening. These are, you know, the other things that newspapers do that are incredibly important to creating a cohesive community. And so I think that I can go to them and tell them, you guys need more news in your area, and this is a great way in order to make that happen.
Representative Anderson, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jimmy Anderson is a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 47th Assembly District. We talked to him about a series of bills he's co-sponsoring in the legislature that aim to improve the quality, quantity, and availability of local news in Wisconsin. Coming up, we'll hear from the head of a national organization focused on rebuilding the local news landscape around the country. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about the trends in local news coverage, in newspapers closing, in smaller communities in particular? And if you have an experience with this, you used to have a paper that would cover those local meetings and would post those yard sales and things like that. Do you miss it? Do you wish something like it could come back? Have you found something online that does the same job for you? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk about improving the local news landscape here in Wisconsin and around the country. Steve Waldman is founder and president of the Rebuild Local News Coalition and co-founder and former president of Report for America. You could join in at 800-642-1234. By the way, if you have solutions for a lack of local news, ideas that might help, an experience to share where you used to have great local coverage and there's less of it, or maybe an outlet shut down completely, maybe one you worked for. Join in at 800-642-1234. Steve, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. It's a great, important topic. Thank you for doing it.
I gave a couple kind of broad statistics right at the outset before we talked to Representative Anderson there. Can you give us a sense of how bad this loss of local news outlets really is around the country?
It's a total catastrophe. It's really almost hard to get one's head around how big this is. There's been about an 82% drop in revenue to newspapers over two decades, and that led to almost a two-thirds loss of reporters around the country. And so thousands of newspapers have shut down. On average, 2.5 newspapers are closing in America every week. And the consequences are just very severe and multiple. You know, there's all sorts of evidence that when you don't have local news, you have more corruption, you have higher taxes, you have more pollution, you have less information about who to vote for, and you even have more polarization and misinformation. And that's because when you have a vacuum of information, like the vacuum that's created by the decline of local news, the vacuum gets filled. And in this case, it's getting filled by national news or social media and misinformation. So it really connects as a crisis to the whole sort of unraveling of American communities. And as you and Representative Anderson noted, it is actually particularly severe in rural areas where many of the weekly newspapers that used to serve them have gone away.
I want to dig into the first thing you gave on that list there when you started getting into consequences, the costs to communities. And you've given examples in various outlets over the years, and I've seen different studies. When local news disappears, local governments end up being more expensive. Talk about some of the connections there.
Yeah, it's kind of, there was an amazing study that showed that bond ratings were worse in communities after the local news went away. And it kind of makes sense when you think about it. There's no one's minding the store, so government tends to become less effective and less efficient. It was fascinating that it was so dramatic that it showed up statistically, and that even rippled through to those areas ending up having to have higher taxes because to make up for the waste that they have to bring in more revenue.
Some people might say, okay, yes, I wish we had more local news, but is government, whether it's state or federal, is government intervention the way to accomplish that? Is it?
Well, first of all, I think that the concerns about the government role are very legitimate. Like, you could totally do this in a very bad way that would involve, you know, giving the government tools to manipulate the media or favor different media. So it is really important how you do it. But, you know, there are ways of doing it that preserve editorial independence. And the three ideas that Representative Anderson came up with, I think, all meet that test. And there are some others that do as well that we can talk about also. And the other thing I would say is that, you know, this isn't actually a new idea, the idea of government supporting the media. There's been government support for the media for a long time. In fact, one of the first big social programs that the founding fathers came up with was a massive subsidy for newspapers in the form of cheap postal rates. But it was really big. And in modern dollars, it would be about $40 billion a year, like the size of the NASA budget. So again, it just goes to the point of, like, it's really not so much a should the government be involved or not. It's can it be done in a safe way? And, you know, there are fortunately examples of how to do it in a way that are First Amendment friendly. And I think we are just at the point where we need to, because the severity of the crisis is just so intense right now.
I want to look at some of the proposals. Now, we heard Representative Anderson talking about the idea of tax credits for newspaper subscribers. I think some legislation is approached in a different way. Tax credits, I think, to advertisers who support local media. What do you think of that idea of tax incentives? Is this an effective way to help?
Yeah, the potential advantage of tax credits is that it is kind of more neutral. You don't have government officials sitting around deciding, you know, which news organization is meritorious. You have a simple set of rules that consumers, or in the other case, advertisers, meet or don't meet, and that's how you get it. And it's an entitlement. And so entitlements also tend to be a bit more generous. Yeah, the other idea that you mentioned, which I also like, is also proposed by a Wisconsin representative named Todd Novak, a Republican, and his bill would provide tax credits for small businesses that advertise in local news. And it's really a nice kind of complement to the proposal to have consumers get a subsidy for helping, for subscribing to local news. In a way, those are the two revenue streams, right? So if you amplify the consumer's buying power and amplify the small business's buying power, and they both are sort of market oriented in a way, and that, you know, the consumer can decide in the subscription credit under this proposal to subscribe to whoever they want, as long as they fit the definitions of newspaper. And so, you know, you can't be accused of this being the government favoring some media over other types of media, because it's up to the consumer. Or in the case of Representative Novak's bill, it's up to the small businesses where they want to put their advertising.
Talking to Steve Waldman with the Rebuild Local News Coalition, looking at the decline and the amount of coverage, the amount of outlets covering local news, especially in smaller communities around the country, ideas to help rebuild that local news coverage. Still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. We've talked to some about government support for local news. What else do you see on the landscape? I know there are nonprofit organizations, lots of them, Wisconsin Watch here in Wisconsin, ProPublica nationwide. Do you see that as another possibility, another possible model to help boost local news coverage?
Absolutely. And the government support should lean into helping the innovation. Like, you know, I think of the government as the third piece of the puzzle, and maybe not even the most important one, but the first two being there needs to continue to be innovation among the news organizations, both to generate revenue and also to better serve their communities. Second, there needs to be a bigger role for philanthropy, big and small. You know, at the end of the day, community media is not going to survive without the support of the community. And that used to be, you know, just subscriptions and advertising, but now you can also donate to news organizations like Wisconsin Watch that you like. And then the third element is the government support. And ideally you want to try to create government policies that reinforce the positive forces that are going on in the market or among consumers, and I think these ideas do. The one other idea that is pretty popular out there is a employment credit. So the idea there is you have a tax credit for news organizations that hire or retain local reporters. And, you know, what I like about it is like the fellowship program in Representative Anderson's package, it goes right at the heart of the issue, which is reporting. You know, there's none of us should get wedded to a particular model of news delivery. Like, where public policy shouldn't be about propping up newspapers or promoting websites, or, you know, it's going to keep evolving. How we get our news, how it's distributed, is going to keep evolving. And that's as it should. The real thing to keep an eye out is, are there reporters in the community watching the school board, watching the, you know, city council, covering high school sports, the theater, all those things? You need the reporters. And if you have that, the distribution mechanisms will take care of themselves.
Now, I'm thinking about the idea of a smaller city in Wisconsin, say 5,000-ish residents. I mean, do you see a sustainable model? You mentioned looking at revenue that could sustain a constantly operating news outlet to do these things for a community that size, given that people struggle sometimes even with a nationwide audience to make money in journalism?
Yeah, those are the hardest cases. I mean, all the studies that have looked at this on a national level have said that the toughest cases are smaller towns and also towns with declining populations. And it's because what you said, it's a matter of scale. you know, a larger place can kind of outrun the falling advertising rates that we're seeing by having lots and lots of readers. There's just only so many people who are going to, you know, want to know about the school board meeting in Mineral Point. And it's just those are the areas where a subsidy of some sort may really be most especially necessary.
In our last minute or so, Steve, the magic wand question, what one policy would you want to see, say, at the federal level to help strengthen local news?
Ooh, if politics was no consideration, if I could really just wave the wand, I think I would do the employment tax credit. It's a very substantial proposal. It would directly aid news organizations and incentivize them hiring local reporters, which is the key to it. So I think that would be the one if I had to pick only one. But you know, a lot of these different ideas kind of complement each other and go at the problem from different angles. So hopefully we'll be able to do multiple.
Steve, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me and for covering this issue.
Steve Waldman is founder and president of the Rebuild Local News Coalition. Talk with him today about how policymakers at the state and national levels can help restore local journalism and better support it going forward. Earlier, we heard from State Representative Jimmy Anderson, who's one of the three state lawmakers co-sponsoring a series of bills aimed at helping the local news desert situation in Wisconsin.